You know, I've enjoyed the singing today. I really have. Now, as I was sitting there and we're singing Amazing Grace, I thought about all the churches that don't sing hymns anymore. How many of those people have never sang Amazing Grace? They've never sang that. See, in the light, those songs that they're singing out in churches, there's no missionary songs in there. But I got to thinking about this one man I heard, and he was talking about, he was a good old Texan boy, and he told his wife, Pumpkin, he said, honey, I'm going up to the big city this weekend. And Pumpkin said to me, now, honey, you make sure you go to church. And he told me, he said, well, you know I go to church. I always go to church. So he gets up to the big city, and Sunday morning he goes to this Baptist church and comes in and sits down on the pew, and he's kind of waiting for the choir to come out. And all of a sudden, four or five people came out from the side, and they got their guitars going and strumming and the drums going and stuff, and turned to the man next to him, and he said, is that the choir? He goes, oh, no, we don't have a choir here anymore. We have a praise group. We sing praises. And so I asked the man, I said, what, you know, and so Pumpkin asked me, she said, well, honey, what's the difference between a praise and a hymn? And I said, well, Pumpkin, if I said the cow, the white cow, is in the cornfield, that would be a hymn. But if I said, oh, Pumpkin, 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 oh, how I love thee, Pumpkin, Pumpkin, I love thee, I love thee. Pumpkin, the cow, the big cow, the great cow, the white cow, oh, Pumpkin, how I love thee. The big cow, the great cow, the white cow, is in the corn, the corn, the corn, the corn, the corn. That would be a praise song. Right now, my wife is dreading that I'm not going to stop. We were able to visit. God has allowed us. You know something? When you get, you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Well, let me give you a little side note before I get into the message. When you get into the perfect will of God, you have things in your heart that you have desired, and some of them might be spiritual and some of them might not be spiritual. But when you get into the perfect will of God, God will allow you some of those personal things that you want. Now, when I was a young boy growing up, we were really very, very poor. I won't go into it, but we were very poor. And so, being born here in America and hearing about different places in Europe, it had always been a dream of mine to go and visit. And because I got into the perfect will of God, I was able to go and visit some of those places. The Black Forest in Germany. Now, we don't generally get a vacation. We were able to go up there because we went into Switzerland for our 30th anniversary. And so every once in a while we do get a vacation. So we decided that year to go there. And we went up, one time we got to go into Holland. We got to fly out of Madrid into Holland for $50 round trip. Boy, wouldn't you like that? I was a little bit more involved in it, but God allowed us to get the rest of the money free to fly into Holland. And so while we're in Holland, we're standing outside of the house where Anne Frank was hid up in that attic. And we're standing there in line. And have you ever been standing in line for a long time and you're bored? Well, I hate being bored, and I hate everybody around me being bored. So nobody's going to be bored while I'm standing there in line. And so we're standing in that line, and a couple of guys came by, and they're handing out leaflet material that there was this comic group that every night in Amsterdam, they did a skit making fun of Holland. It was American and the Dutch, young people that were doing it. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, these guys think they're funny. I know I'm funny. So I start doing stand-up comedy. And I've got everybody laughing, and my wife decided that's enough. And she takes me on the arm, she tugs me, she said, that's enough. I said, but I'm going good. She goes, I said, that's enough. Okay. And I'm standing there and all of a sudden she goes, don't even think about it. I wasn't thinking about starting again. She goes, oh, yes, you were. I know that face. And I was. But, you know, God allows you to do certain things. That's your heart desire because you get into the perfect will of God. And how many people have missed blessings of God because they've not been in the perfect will of God? Sometimes we look for the easy street. And following God is not always the easy street. And sometimes there's a price to pay. And I've known people that down through time, they have paid the price to follow God, but have no regrets. Now, I do hope, and I've told this to many people, I hope that at the rapture, that God comes on Sunday morning about 10 o'clock. Now, I'm about to step on some of your toes, okay? I hope God comes at 10 o'clock during Sunday school or 11 o'clock during the Sunday morning service. And those Christians that were not in church, they were out doing other things. You got to explain that to Jesus in the clouds. You got to explain that. Now, for you that did not get to see our DVD presentation this morning, you can see some of the pictures out there. You've been supporting it. If you got money in the stock market, you know what it's like. And they keep telling me on the advertisements on radio, buy gold. You know, gold just dropped $11 the other day. But what you invest in missionaries, it's never lost. That investment just keeps collecting and collecting and collecting. And it just goes on and on. And then someday in heaven, your investment's going to pay off. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you did not get one of our prayer cards, we have prayer cards out there. It is our desire that everybody gets a prayer card. Take it home. Pray for us. We do desire your prayers. You know, you can give all the money you want to a missionary, but without prayer, there's no power behind that money. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me get, you know, I've got to this age where I have to have my specs to just to be able to read. I was traveling one time from Texas back up to Michigan. I was taking a different route that I've never taken before. And got to where I was supposed to go one way or the other. It was late at night. I didn't have my specs. Couldn't read the map. I slept that night in the rest area because I couldn't tell what way to go. I had to wait for the sun to come up to be able to read the map. But that's okay. Sometimes sleeping in the car will save you some money. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Preacher, what time am I supposed to be done? I know you want to go eat. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, in chapter 8, verse 1, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us a fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Paul here in this portion of Scripture, he is talking to the church in Corinth about the church in Macedonia, about their giving. Now let me back up for a minute. If you don't have to turn there, but over in Daniel chapter 2, at the end of the chapter, Nebuchadnezzar is telling Daniel, he is praising God because Daniel has interpreted the dream that nobody else could interpret. And Nebuchadnezzar says there in Daniel chapter 2 at the end, your God is the God of all gods. He is king over all kings. He is Lord of lords. He is praising God and saying, your God is God. He is the living God. All other gods are inferior. They're not true gods, but your God is the true living God. He is praising God. But in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, and Nebuchadnezzar made a golden image. He praises God on one hand, then he turns around and builds a golden image. And here in America, I believe with all my heart, today that is what we are doing. We praise God, we come to church on Sunday, maybe on Wednesday, and we praise God for all He's doing, but then we build golden images. There's one thing that everybody in my church in Spain knows. And if anybody here would like to contribute to my heart desire, I'm willing to take anybody's money. I want so badly, I want a Samsung LED 40-inch TV. This is what I want. The 7000 series. Right now, it would cost me about $1,300. I can't pay that. I could take out my credit card and buy it. I could pay it on time, but I won't do it. But you see, I need this 40-inch screen TV at the foot of my bed. I don't need it in the living room. I don't need it in the kitchen. I need it in my bedroom. But how many Christians are like that? You ever go by the jewelry store, man, and see that nice ring with those diamonds all around it, maybe a star sapphire? And I think to myself, I can't buy that. I'd rather give the money to missions. There are so many things I see in this life, and I'm a compulsive buyer. What I see, that's what I want to buy. Boy, let me into Craftsman, into Sears. I have one of everything. And then I'd be taking it back the next day because my wife was going to say, you don't need that, you don't need that, you don't need that. You know what I mean? I'm a compulsive buyer. But I got to stop and think, you know, I really don't need that. I'd rather give the money to missions. Paul here is talking to the church of Corinth, talking about the churches of Macedonia. And he tells the church there that these people in Macedonia, those churches, they gave. And not only did they gave with joy. And not only did they give with joy, they gave out of deep poverty. In other words, they're going through a crisis. They don't have two cars in every garage. They don't have a television in the living room and in the kitchen and in the bedroom and in the bathroom and everywhere. They probably don't have meat to eat every day. But they gave out of their poverty. Why? They're not making excuses. Well, I really don't have that much. You know, I'm on unemployment. Maybe I'm just on Social Security. But they gave. Why would they give out of deep poverty? I believe, first of all, they had their priorities in line. One thing I try to teach my children, first of all, get your priorities in line. What is most important? Get your priorities right. And so many times, our priorities are not right. For years, we gave the faith promise, but I never gave out of faith. I calculated what I had left after I got done with all my bills and with my tithe, what I had left, what I could afford to give to missions. But I never gave out of faith. And then one day, I finally asked God, I said, God, what do you want me to give? What do you want me to give every month, every week? I said, well, wait a minute, God. I can't afford that. I just left my job. I just quit. I'm going to the mission field. I have no income. If you want that, I'll go ask my wife. And surely she will come in with a lower number. And then at the judgment time, I could always tell God, it was my wife. Is that what we got wives for, to blame them? I said, honey, what do you think? She said, you know, it's kind of funny. I've been praying about it. And I believe this is what God wants us to give every week. You know something? It was the same figure that God told me. You know what I told her? We can't afford that. But we got our priorities in line. And then when things get going rough, they get going tough. We had a man from Chile in our church. He got laid off. Crisis came in, hit real bad. And because he's coming to our church, and our church is a small church, and they're like children, and I worry about my children. What are they? I started to say, what's he going to do? He doesn't have his papers. Illegally, he has been working. If his boss got caught, it'd be big time trouble for him. But his boss liked him, put him to work. But what's he going to do now? He doesn't have his papers. He was laid off from this job. What's he going to do? I don't know. What am I going to do? How am I going to help him? I don't have that kind of money. Well, wait a minute. He gives his tithe. He gives to missions. I have nothing to worry about. He had his priorities. The other reason I believe the churches in Macedonia, they gave and they gave and they gave out of their deep poverty, because they believed a truth. We hear it all the time. We say amen to it. But they really believed it down deep in their heart, and they were going to do something about that simple, basic truth. Hell is hot. Eternity is forever. Amen. Somebody asked me one day. They were looking to pick a fight with me. Well, Dave, do you believe your church is the true church? I said, you know something? It doesn't make any difference if my church is a true church. What matters to me is if my church is teaching the truth. That's what's important. Simple truth. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood. He is the Son of God. He washed away all my sins. I love singing that song, Jesus Loves the Little Children. That's one of the first songs I learned when I started going to church when I was 8 years old. My grandson that was born in Spain, my daughter married my music man. I have no music ability, but the kid's only a year old or less. I'm singing to him. He can't tell me, Grandpa, I don't want to hear your voice. I'm so bad, when I sing in the shower, the water turns off. My granddaughter, Thalia, she does have an ear for music, and she'll put her hand up over my mouth. But I would sing to my grandson, ever since he was just a baby, four of those Sunday school songs that I learned when I was a child. I want him to know those songs. But you know something? Jesus loves me. He is the Son of God. He died on the cross, shed his blood. And when I was 8 years old, I put my faith in him. I witnessed the wife of our dentist. I guess you can say that. Am I saying that right in English? The wife of my dentist? Dentist wife. Okay, there you go. You understand me, brother. La mujer de mi dentista. She came to our cooking class, been coming for years. We use our cooking ministry as an outreach ministry. They come in anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. We do it right at in November, just before Christmas. We finish up. Ladies of the neighborhood, they come on Saturday evening. They learn two different things. We started off with sweets. Cookies, cakes, pies. They don't bake anything like we do on sweets. Nothing like us. And what we do is we invite them to our church on Saturday evening. Well, first I was our home, now it's in the church. And we teach them one thing, and after we got done teaching that thing, we take a little coffee break and have a devotion. And then we go teaching the other thing, and then they go home. So the unsaved, they're coming to learn how to make cakes and cookies and pies, and now we've extended to other things. And the ladies of the church this year, they came together and they wanted to help. We said, does anybody want to? Yeah, I'll teach this, I'll teach that. And they started giving the devotion in the middle. This year we had hardly any work to do on that because the ladies of the church were helping. But she was there. And I gave my testimony of how at 8 years old, I went to church, I heard the gospel message that Jesus died for me. And if I would open my heart and ask Jesus to come in and save me, that he would. And I bowed my head, not the first week, but the second week. The first week I knew it was all true. But I heard a voice inside of me as a little boy sitting there in junior church, knowing that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. The voice said, Dave, everything he said is true, but wait. Wait till next week. And it'd be so embarrassing. Could you imagine me being embarrassed to stand in front of people? It'd be so embarrassing to walk in front of all those other little boys and girls. Why don't you just wait till next week? You're not going to die. Next week. I said, yeah, I can wait till next week. And I did. And the following week, same thing. A man standing there. And I thank God for that man that would stand there before those little children and preach the gospel to us. And the second week, the same thing. When the invitation was given, I knew I needed to be saved. And the voice came back and said, David, everything he said is true. Just wait. Wait one more week. You're not going to die. You didn't die last week. You can do it next week. You're going to be so embarrassed. I said, yeah, I didn't die last week. What's one more? I said, no. This week, I said I was going to do it. And I went forward and asked Jesus to come in my heart and save me. And she said to me, and I enjoyed this. What a compliment. She said, boy, were you intelligent. You're pretty smart. You understood all that at 8 years old. You know, so I think any kid understands that. Any child can understand that. Jesus loves me. He died for me. His sins washed away. His blood washed away my sins. The church in Macedonia believed that hell is hot and eternity is forever. They wanted to have a part in the Apostle Paul's ministry. They wanted the old souls to be saved, that were going to be saved. They said, Paul, take this money. Even though we're giving out of our poverty, we really don't have a lot. But we want to have a part in your ministry because all those people being saved is added into our account. Wall Street will pass. The gold price won't mean anything. What silver and copper will do on an open market doesn't mean anything. Those people getting saved is our reward. That's our investment. But you know something? To really, really be involved in missions, first of all, you have to have an understanding. People around you are dying. And everywhere we go, we need to look for the opportunity to tell people about Jesus. And you can say, oh, well, Dave, that's easy for you to do because you're in the ministry. I was doing it before I was in the ministry. You know why? I believed hell was hot and eternity was forever. And I wanted to have a part in as many people as I could. And with 6 years of Bible training, I went to 3 different Bible colleges because I couldn't get along with anybody. Finally got one to say, here's your degree, go. But with all the Bible college, with all the training, learning the Romans Road and learning this and that, the only thing that you need to be a soul winner is a desire in your heart, in the bottom of your heart, and say, no, God, the desire of my heart is to take somebody to heaven that I want to Jesus Christ testifying to them. God, that's what I want more than anything in this world. And God will do it. Isn't that what Psalm says? Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Everybody's worried about my grandson, Jason. He's now 9 years old. Jason, at 5 years old, at 6, 7, and 8, you know what he did? He talks to everybody. He's like his grandpa. And my daughter, my son-in-law, and grandma, and everybody else in the family, they're worried. Jason will go up and he will talk to everybody. He was in the United States a couple years ago. He's talking to my next door neighbor. I haven't even talked to him. And I figured that Paul probably does not want to hear this little kid just jabber on. I said, Jason, it's time to come over here. Grandpa's got some stuff to do in the garage. Come help Grandpa. Jason tells Paul, okay, see you later. Gets in the garage and he says, Grandpa, when Paul calls me, I've got to go back because, you see, I gave him my word I would go help him. Kid at that age knows to keep his word. But everybody's worried. All Jason talks to everybody. You know something? I delight in that because he will get to that age where he will start to tell people about Jesus. Because he will believe hell is hot and eternity is forever. Those churches in Macedonia, they wanted to have a part in Paul's ministry. You know what scares me most? What motivates me most in my Christian life? I want to hear, above everything and anything, when I stand before Jesus, to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I'm so scared to death. Now, in my mind, and my theology could be wrong, but there is a line standing waiting to get into heaven. And the good thing about being McDonald, I'm an M. I'm in the middle of the line, not at the end. I'm not a Zelensky or something like that. Of course, I'm not an Alberto either. But at least I'm in the middle. And what fears me, in my mind, and I know my theology is wrong, but in my mind, I see person after person standing before Jesus here, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. And he gets to me and he says, come on in. There is no well done, thy good and faithful servant. That scares me. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But to hear it, I have to be faithful. And I have to be good in the work of God to the end. Now, some people, according to Scripture, they're going to govern over 10 cities. They've done an excellent job. They've done a good job. They've given themselves to it. Some will govern over 5. Some will govern over 1. I've asked God, if I should be worthy to come back and rule with you, the only thing I want is a Taco Bell. That's all I want. To be able to eat Taco Bell tacos all day long and drink all the free Pepsi and not worry about the calories. That will be heaven to me. Jason just went back to back to Spain. He was here this summer. We weren't here. And he gets back, and I got the wrong version. My wife gave me the right version, but I like my version a little bit better. He gets back to Spain, and he tells Grandma, Grandma, when I get to be 18, I'm moving to the United States. And I'm going to live in Garden City in a house close to you and Grandpa, but I want to live next door to Taco Bell. I've taught that boy right. Churches of Macedonia, they believed that hell was hot and eternity was forever. They wanted to have a part. They wanted to have a part in people coming in heaven, wrapping their arms around them and saying, thank you for giving to the Apostle Paul. Thank you for giving to his ministry. Because you gave, he was able to come and he was able to do the work and I got saved because you gave. But you know something? Giving is only half of it. The other half is praying. For those that were in Sunday school this morning, I ask for your forgiveness for telling the same story. But for those that were not here this morning, we've been almost 28 years in Spain. You know why? Because somebody was praying. You say, well, you know, that's simple, basic theology 101. No, you don't understand. somebody in the United States, some people were praying for us. We worked hard for 2 years to raise our support to get to Spain. When I was out on the East Coast, I could go down to the Atlantic Ocean and look across the Atlantic Ocean and say, oh God, if I had the power, I would walk across this ocean. If I could do like you did and walk on water, I would go right now over to Spain. I wanted to be there so bad to tell people about Jesus. And what breaks my heart are the children of Spain. There's a little park between our house and our church I have to go through all the time. And when I go through there in the evening, on Wednesday evening most of the time, when I go through there, I see little children playing. And I know that their parents are never going to take them to church. Those little boys and girls will never be told, like I was at the age of 8 years old, how to be saved. Those little boys and girls will grow up to be like mom and dad, not care anything about church, not care anything about God. And they're going to die and go to hell. And they're just little boys and girls. That breaks my heart. I had a man one time. I've known him down through the years. He married, had a couple of boys. And I told him, I said, you know something? You're a good father. You really are. He said, well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. I said, no, you are a good father. You work. You bring home the money. You provide for your children. You give them a house to live in. You pray. You got clothes on their backs. You provide food for them. You provide for their education. You're a good father. And once again, he said, well, thank you. I said, but you're not a great father. He said, whoa, what do you mean I'm not a great father? I said, if you were a great father, you would bring your children to our church so we could tell them how to be saved. You're a good father, but you're not a great father. I don't think he was too happy with me, but you know, truth is truth. I have one young man I witness to all the time. I get at home some nights, and I have to understand, Spain is a different country. I get home at 12:30, 1 in the morning. I'm out visiting, doing other things. And there's a group of young people that are always in front of our apartment building. They're just sitting there and talking, maybe drinking some beer or smoking some pot. And I'd go over there, and sometimes we just talk about just natural, general things. But sometimes I would try to witness to them. And they had one young man, Oscar. I talked to him all the time. And I got so tired of trying to talk to him. And finally I said, you know something? I got nothing to lose. Walked up one night. I said, Oscar, you're going to die and go to hell. He did not get offended. You know why? Because he knew it was true. And every time I'd walk up to that group of young people, the first thing I would say, Oscar, you're going to die and go to hell. I really cared about Oscar. One night as I was walking up, he said, I already know I'm going to die and go to hell. I said, okay, you know. I come across Oscar. He moved away to another town way out. I said, Oscar, you're going to die and go to hell. You see, I believe hell is hot, eternity is forever. We need Christians that will get back to where we really believed. We've become so popular, we've become so knowledgeable. God has blessed us with riches. But I think, even though we know it, we have forgotten. Hell is hot, eternity is forever. I wish we could go back to the 50s and 60s and early 70s when we were out telling everybody about Jesus. All we wanted to do was take people to heaven. No, all we want to do is be educated and live well. We're building our golden images. The Church of Macedonia wanted to have a part. The Apostle Paul said, you sow what? Sparingly. You reap sparingly. I want to take as many people as I can to heaven. Not because I'm somebody special or anything like that. I just believe hell is hot, eternity is forever. I want to challenge you with this, and I'll close with this. Tonight, when you go to bed, you lay your head down on your pillow, you close your eyes. Pray, saying, oh God, open my eyes. Let me see the people in hell as they scream out and cry as the rich man of Luke chapter 16. As they scream and cry and say, oh God, I want to repent. God, I'm so sorry for my sins. I know that I rejected you upon this earth. I turned away your son. I didn't care about his blood, but oh God, I want to repent now. Ask God to let you see those people as they scream and cry for a drop of water. Then get up in the morning and say, oh God, I want to tell somebody about Jesus. That's all I want. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Say, oh God, touch my heart. Let me understand the people I work that work around me at work. The mailman or mail woman that comes to my door. The newspaper boy, the lady at the grocery store. They're going to live forever in heaven or in hell. Well, God, burn my heart that I'll tell them about Jesus. Maybe you're here today. You've never put all your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He loves you so much that he shed his blood. He died a horrible death on that cross because he wants to save you. With a simple prayer, as I did when I was 8 years old. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. And I want Jesus to come in my heart and save me and wash away all my sins. I want to repent of my sins. In Jesus' name. You know, he'll come into your heart and save you forever. But dear Christian, is it your heart desire to take somebody to heaven with you that you want? Father, I do pray and ask, oh God, that you would touch our hearts this morning. Let us see the people around us, that they have an eternal soul. And we might be the only possibility for them to know that Jesus loves them. Well, God, burden our hearts for the lost. Upon every foreign field, help us to be faithful in praying for other missionaries, that God would protect them and watch over them, that he would bless their ministry. But also, God, I pray and ask that you'd touch our hearts here to tell the people around us, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, if you will come. This morning, maybe God has dealt with your heart. Maybe even coming to Spain as a missionary. We desperately need somebody to come and work with us. Preacher.
496.
Stand together, please, for our invitation. This is your opportunity now to respond to what you've heard. May God speak to your heart today as we sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today.
God speaks in a still small voice. Will you listen to your heart today? Today, we appreciate your being here. Hope that the preacher has said something that will stir your heart. I'm sure that he has. Don't let the devil snatch away the seed that's been planted, but let it grow. Let it be fertilized by the water of the Word and grow until we will surrender to God. As Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed, not my will, but thine be done. Remember the service tonight at 6 o'clock. Lord willing, I'll be bringing a message on Daniel chapter 2. And I think you'll enjoy it So come out and be with us in our evening service. Wednesday evening, we have our Bible study at 6 o'clock. And always have a good time of fellowship in the Word of God. So come out and be with us. It's your church. Take advantage of it. As we're dismissed now in prayer, our service is concluded. You can see the display out in the lobby of the church here. And Brother MacDonald and his wife will be out there. And you can talk to them. We're happy that they came today to be with us. And Brother John Sampson, will you lead us, please, in our benediction this morning?
Amen.